Welcome to the Starfeed Podcast. For anything and everything spaceworthy.
Hello and welcome to the Starfeed Podcast, Episode 2, also known as How to Ship Gooder. I am your host, Fire209, here with Mr. Ferb.
Howdy.
Molten Lava 5.
Hello.
And today's guest, Jay Zimmerman.
What's up?
Today's topic is going to be what makes the difference between an okay ship and a great ship?
Winning. That's the difference.
I can't argue there, but I think we're supposed to be going into a little more detail. So, in the last episode, three of us introduced ourselves, saying what we are and all that. But I do not believe that Jay Zimmerman has, so can he give a short little piece to camera?
All right. Hey, Jay Zimmerman 4. Anything else you guys want?
If that's all you got, then we'll go ahead.
Sounds good.
Least clever introduction ever.
Yeah. It's alright to
I'm
be
not that
shy
interesting
the first
a person.
Time. Well, hopefully you can say some interesting things, or we may have to kick you out 15 seconds in. Or actually, we're past 15 seconds in. Maybe 15 minutes in.
Okay, I'll try my best.
Okay, so where do we start? I was going to go with hull and aesthetics to start off with.
Yeah. We skipped my clever little today's episode, Top Gear type skit, but let's just go along. Can't break
so
the flow.
Sorry.
Maybe I'll do it at the end. Anyway,
maybe.
Going on. Actually, we need to do news first. Okay, news. There isn't any news. Moving on.
Hey, we have to talk about the new launcher and what are you doing for the future.
Oh, yeah, the new launcher.
I actually have not downloaded it yet. I have not gotten on StarMade in the past day due to me basically for the last week doing nothing but StarMade. A little bit burnt out, but I'll get back into it sometime soon.
Yeah.
But from what I hear, it's basically a lot of optimizations and downloading, as well as a couple of goodies in the future, including version selection.
I haven't used it either, so I guess we'll just go down the news page list. So yeah, the main feature is how it can download only the changes between versions. Of course, in the past, you've had to download an entire zip file. But now, between updates, you can only download what you can, just download what you need. Of course, in exchange, it's no longer in a zip file, so the initial download is a little bigger, but after that, it should be much quicker. You can change the installation path. It's no longer hard-coded to /StarMade relative to the launcher. You can change build branch between release, pre, dev, if you have permissions to it, which will only be testers, and archive, which I guess will be the older versions. Quick version switching. If a download stops in the middle of downloading, you can repair and resume it. Now that files are no longer in zip files, it will actually tell you what files it's downloading and exactly how far along it is in that. Better backup system. The news display works for the first time since the new site launched. And it can update itself.
Also, be aware that Kalbiri released a lot of teasers for upcoming mechanics, including FTL, thrust, interdiction, and a possible new set of metadata added to ships that could mark them for different roles, such as captain ships. This is all going to be very controversial. Their thread explaining everything and asking for opinions on that from Calvary himself is up on the general discussion forums. Feel free to visit that.
Something else I'd like to add is the chat got a slight upgrade, I've noticed. The system, it was earlier on today, the system changed, but it seemed to have changed back later on.
So they were testing something out underneath our noses?
They were indeed. It seems that it got a nice white line down splitting the names from the time zone, and just an in general just vamp to it. It looked really nice, actually, I have to say.
It's a shame it won't be permanent. Or not a shame, depending on who you ask.
Okay, so now personal interests and shoutouts. I really don't have anything to mention off the top of my head. Does anyone else have any other opinions or whatever they want to say?
DFN is going from a political faction to a shipyard. Pretty exciting, considering how old the name is.
Jeez, DFM was founded around my time, so that's a huge change.
Yeah, they're still around. Are they, not sure if they're the longest lasting faction, but they're definitely one of the ones with an epic beard. We'll see. It'll probably be good for them to, distance themselves from some of the, strangeness that goes on in the faction's territory.
Yeah, there definitely has been some, I'll just say, different things going on there, so I don't piss anyone off. Okay, in today's layout, someone decided to put that we should have a very unhygienic tea and delicious break on the toilet, but I believe we are going to skip that for several reasons. I'm not even going to get started there. Okay, now we get to our main topic. What makes the difference between an okay ship and a great ship? Okay, so we're going to start out with asking our guest, Jay Zimmerman. What are your opinions on the exterior, rather the shape and types of hull used on the outside of someone's ship?
Okay, awesome. So, the first thing I'm obviously going to say is wedges. If you don't use wedges, your ship is not going to be downloaded a lot if that's what you're going for. And then also, if you talk about different hull types, personally I like to do more like a base coat, I guess, of normal hull, and then coat it on top of hardened hull armor.
Well, I usually get lazy when I'm actually building a ship. I'll either start with basic hull or start with hardened hull and use it all the way through. Sometimes I'll use hardened on the outside and then do pretty interior with basic. And what's your opinion on Petras and Tetras? I personally have only ever used them once on my most recent and smallest in a long time ship.
I use them all the time. If it can make something look smoother, then I suggest putting them on there, unless you're going for more of like a scaly look.
Like I said, I've only really used them once because I am very lazy, and for them to look good, you do have to put in a whole lot of effort, which seems to go up exponentially with the size of the ship. It already took me about 2 hours with a 350 mass fighter.
Well, I think the cockpits, they suit the best because the way for glass cockpits at least, because they kind of give it more of that smooth look than just wedges.
Yeah.
It'd be impossible to have domed cockpits without them.
And I believe that Zimmerman's microphone was having a seizure. Is he back and ready for the next question?
If I may add something, I think that there could actually be a lot more discussion about the general shape used for the hole. I mean, a lot of people will sit there and say, oh yeah, most memorable ships from my childhood, Star Destroyers, Normandy, the All-Star Galactica carriers. And part of the reason for that is due to it being made of relatively simple shapes designed with something iconic in mind. Whenever you look at a lot of the newer ships coming out on StarMade, you'll see that they're mostly the same basic shape with a lot of new extraneous details. And that simple shape, that's the center of the ship's aesthetic, is what creates what makes it memorable. I mean, look at, I think the best example would be the Tardaran Empire's ship line. They all have these large aesthetic properties to them that are very easily recognizable. You take one look at a Tardaran Empire ship and you say, yep, I know who that belongs to, and I'm not messing with it.
Yeah, I remember a few months ago, when the Calderan Republic drama was going on and the Tardaran Empire was getting ready for an attack, I saw a lineup of four or five of their Manticore destroyers, and it looked menacing. I actually took a screenshot of it, which sadly didn't turn out as good as it looked in person, I guess you could call it, but still.
You can't screen cap terror.
I have to say that's also due to a set color of them.
Yeah, color also helps a lot in developing a certain style. And black is actually the most common right now, followed by gray, and then I think red.
Yeah,
I've
those seem to be the main colors.
Been a fan of mixing black and blue.
Almost all my ships use red and black hull, and of course ice crystal, but now that the other colors exist, I'm starting to move into those.
When I first started shipbuilding, I did black and blue hull, but as I moved into factions, I decided to take on kind of like the defense color, gray and brown, and so I went with black and brown, and that's what I've been sticking with for quite a while.
So, does anyone else have input here?
I believe you're going to ask the next question.
So yeah, interior layout. Like, where should you put the rooms of your ship? And so on.
Oh, I'm rubbish at that.
I have to admit, I'm not great at it either.
It takes a very special attention to detail to sit there and make an amazing interior. I can make hallways with little details, but if you'll look at some of the stuff that the Skylord Luke does, or that someone like Riven does, it's nowhere near their level.
Or Crusade. Like, he's one of the older guys, but he's still one of the best ship builders.
I love interiors myself, as I've just got back into them. I think the interior of a ship is its heart sort of thing. So if you can kind of, you know, build the good interior, then exterior is not so bad.
Can I hire you? Can I like hire you to?
Oh, sorry. I was like, what?
Interiors of all of my ships.
It don't need hiring. I don't mind doing it, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, and we may be having some collaboration building going on. But yeah, maybe I'm bad at recognizing voices, but I do not believe that Zimmerman has entered any contribution here.
Yeah, I'm not the hugest interior. I'm definitely working on it, getting better. Most of my ships don't yet have interiors, just because they're mainly like battleships and such. So I don't have a ton to contribute to interiors.
Yeah, that brings up a good point. A lot of ships that have awesome looking exteriors and are fully combat optimized do not have a large interior or one that's well decorated. Do you think that that necessarily ruins a ship in your eyes?
If it's for battle reasons, I would say I think it's totally alright if it doesn't have interior. But definitely if you're doing it for like roleplay, or if you simply just want your ship for a show, I would suggest of you to do the best you want for interior, so that people have things to explore as they check out your ship.
Yeah, there's been some people complaining about that admittedly minor difference, but still the difference in effectiveness that not having the blocks available that for systems that one would apply to an interior.
My own personal experiences with interior, in the earlier days of me playing the game, I rarely, if ever, really put an interior on it. I started moving into having very small interiors, because in those days I was all about pretty much making giant cannons with thrusters, and that was about it. Then I started moving into having large, barren interiors, because, like I said, I'm still very lazy. And that's pretty much where I still am today.
I used to start with interiors and build a ship around. Until recently, I was deciding I should probably build the outside of ship and work inwards, especially for a fighter, which is what I'd done. But with all the new blocks, well, new blocks for me over this past however long time it's been, with like the mesh and the what are the blocks? The hazard blocks. I feel like they can create it's a massive creativity point for people that do interiors like me, because it's all the intricate little details that you can get, like the way wedges act, or how you can put crystals behind computers and light them up, sort of thing. But I totally agree with, if it's a ship built for war, then I can understand more systems than interior design. Whereas if it's for discovery, then it's best to have little like details everywhere. That also would be a good point, is I've seen a lot of logic used in detailing now as well.
Since we're on the topic, what would you consider to be the point at which you no longer want to put an interior into, say, a battleship that was meant for battle? If perhaps on a ship percentage basis.
Personally, I would make sure it has a very small amount of interior to protect the core, well, just to get to the core sort of thing. But on a battleship, I'd probably say about no more than 5-10% of the interior should be the actual design.
Yeah, I tend to balance my interiors on capital ships to be between 10-15% of the ship's volume for anything that would conceivably be out in the vastness of space on its own and be self-sufficient. That percentage will, of course, go down the higher volume the ship is. So for like something bigger than a battleship, like a Dreadnought or a Titan, that would, as it gets bigger, the living space aboard the ship would not grow at the same pace.
Azaria just came up with the point of having the interior along the outer walls of the ship for missile defense and spaced armor. That's quite a good idea, but then if it's, for instance, a hallway, you've got this huge gap that they've basically just blasted through.
You both have good points. I usually tend to just put interior right in the center of the ship out of several reasons, namely laziness and my mind going blank now, but you get my point, I guess.
Well, yeah, that was the sort of core thing. It's usually cores are always to the middle. So you kind of have that room always there and you have to link it to the outside so you can get in, sort of thing.
Yeah, personally, I don't like super long hallways, so I did the same thing as putting your interiors right next to your core, like your core room. Having easy access from, if you have any box or anything, straight to your core room so you can quickly get to escape pods or whatever.
So, tip for aspiring shipbuilders out there. When working on your interiors, pre-plan them to make them compact. They don't have to be ugly, but they do have to not take up more space than they could.
And on that note, I guess we are moving on to the next section, which is lighting, which I guess is an extension of the interior. Like, how would you suggest, or it could be lighting as decoration on the outside of a ship. Let's go with that.
I personally love using the Tron lights on the exterior of a ship. If you have, say, a layer of hull plating, and you have a gap between it and the next layer of hull plating beneath it, where you have one overhanging over the other, you can put lights inside that cranny under the overhang, and it will shine its color out onto the lower plate, and it'll look very good.
Yeah, I discovered that myself. I was about to say that ends up with a very nice effect, and I have used it to my advantage in designing engines, even about a year ago with one of my very ugly ships. I still do think I made very nice engines with it using that effect.
Also, be aware that there is a very large difference between the colored lights and the colored crystals. Say if you want to have a nice red effect, if you use a red light, you're going to have a layer of white closer to the light that fades into a red farther away. If you use a red crystal instead, you'll have red all the way around. There's no fading, there's just greater and lesser intensity. On the same note, lava is also affected by the having the layer of white light nearby it and the red farther away.
I shunned me for a second.
You have a white light around you.
Take that as a compliment, thank you.
You're welcome.
Definitely hated that though, because during the station contest when I was building the Nightbane pirate station, you know, I had to use red light. And so I do have that, the little white in it, which doesn't look nearly as good as if I was able to use the crystals.
So do you recommend that they fix that?
Definitely. I think it would look a lot nicer. More people would actually use lights if they did create a nicer, more solid effect.
Excellent.
I almost never use lights. I use the crystals a lot, but I only ever use the plain plex lights for lighting the interior and nothing else.
Yeah, it seems to be lights are just for interior now, because as soon as the crystals were around, everyone started using them for the engines instead of just having their engines.
And we've got Calbury in the chat saying that the crystals and the lights should have the same color. The only difference should be in their alpha. No,
oh,
Cal, where were you?
Very bright alpha then, I guess.
Where are you reading this? So I guess we're on to the next section, which would be fine details and the techniques for doing them.
I like having a relation between fine details and light. And so something that I think looks really nice is if you do like a layer of crystals and you just do a thin layer of hole over that, like if you have a nice like cool design on it, and, I think it just looks really nice because from a top angle it's just like glow, but then from other angles you just get different effects.
Gotta agree there. A lot of people will sit there and do a lot of detailing and multi-layered effects with their hole, and that's nice, but they're missing out on a lot of potential that playing tricks of light using the different colors could do with that. I mean, you don't want to overdo the detail and stress people's eyes, but combining the two different forms of interest between the light and the texture can have absolutely wonderful effects.
I honestly believe that about three layers of hull, you shouldn't go any past, like, any more past that for details.
That's a fair point. Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
It's sometimes, like Ferb just said, it sometimes just hurts your eyes to look at a ship if it does.
Yeah, like, the individual details look super nice, you're like, oh wow, and then just as a whole, it's too much. You need to have a little bit of plain space to give people's eyes a rest.
Simplistic is better, indeed.
Exactly. And it'll make your other details pop.
When a person looks at your ship, the first thing they should see about it is its shape and not its texture. When they get closer, when they actually begin looking for the details, when they should notice them. If the very first thing you notice about your ship is a very specific part of it, then it's not in balance with the rest of your ship. You either need to bring the rest of the ship to become more like that one part, or you need to dial back the interest in that one part to match the rest of the ship.
I feel like Nuclear Fun does a really good job of detail and simplistic mixed together. I don't know if you've ever seen any of his ships.
I believe I saw them several months ago, but I haven't seen any of them recently.
Oh yeah, because basically he takes full advantage of the whole having it look like there's armor plates on a ship, but in between the plates he has like some ton of super small details, almost as if like you're flying on the Death Star and you just see all those random bits everywhere. It looks kind of like that.
Gribbling is called. An excellent skill to have.
Something I really enjoy in a ship is simplistic. It's the, when two wedges facing the complete opposite side of each other, they kind of like create this slit on a ship, and people usually put lighting behind them. It looks like power is going through the ship, I suppose, sort of thing. I really enjoy that.
And we have a little on-the-side question from Bearish Mushroom asking Molten Lava why is his name 4 here but 5 on StarMate?
5 usually is everywhere, but on Twitch, 4, my Molten Lava 5 got hacked a while back, and Twitch had lovingly done nothing about it, even though I had applied to get it back a few times. So in the end, I just ended up making another account, and 4 is my favorite number.
Ooh. I shall find a way to use this against you.
You can try.
Oh no, you have given ammunition to the Furby. We must deploy the flamethrowers now.
They're melting!
Okay, back on topic. On the next question, which was core protection, I believe we already covered that in outside and interior.
I have one more. There are still things that we can do. Protection is not only about the interior and the exterior. There are multiple different ways to protect your core that even RP ships can take advantage of. My core rooms are almost always spheres of hardened black hole. Usually only one layer thick, but sometimes larger. That actually does provide quite a bit of a additional protection because it's normally your hull is not that protective because, you know, they'll just shoot at one spot, not splitting their damage over a bunch of different blocks. But when they know where your core is and they're aiming for it, then they have to get through that number of blocks. So it's basically a way to ensure the use of the core, not the core, the hull blocks.
And two other techniques that I've seen, one of them you can only do from using like SM Edit, is surrounding your core room with protection blocks, because those things are very tough, so it will take a lot to shoot through them. But of course, when you're playing legit, you can only have one faction block in a ship.
Definitely good to notice where you're at. You know, kind of ship you have, the fighter, probably want to put it in front of your core because you're going to be going straight on against enemy turrets or larger ships.
The other method is using docked ships around your core or even your entire core room as protection, where the docked cores get shot and of course you can't shoot through them. You can like keep shooting at them and making them overheat faster and faster until you hit the threshold for that. So that's definitely a lot more effective, even though it's very difficult, and if you're lazy, will take a very long while. But it's an effective way. Okay, go on.
I hear something. I hear something very exciting. Is this a typo I hear from flying debris? Masses of dict cores? Sorry, I'll not do any of the other ones.
I was going to say, how can you hear a typo?
Don't ask me those questions.
Something that I don't usually do for core protection, but something I always think of when I think of a core, is that I put build blocks around it, especially for a larger ship, just in case I have friends that actually want to work on it. But if we're going from a non-StarMade edit point of working, I suppose, then I agree with Ferb's hull around, because it's just the whole point of the hull is just, especially, I can't really explain it, but with fighters you get shot from the front or the back, never from the sides. So it's kind of more sense to have the hull surrounding it so that you have this extra protection.
Also, be aware, if you are designing a ship specifically for battle, make use of interior docked vessels, plates of shielding around your core perhaps, or around your computers or interior spaces. It's a way to bypass these negative scaling on shields. It might not be an amazing difference, but it'll lower your power requirements and increase the amount per block you're gaining. The larger the ship, the more reason to do something like that there is.
Does anyone have... Well, obviously you do have another comment to say here, so I'll let you go on.
Okay, so I was just going to kind of, I guess, ask a question. If since we're talking about core protection, also something good to protect is your weapon computers. So would you guys recommend just creating your circle of hole and putting your core and your computers in there, or spreading your computers without throughout your ship?
What I'll usually do is keep them relatively together. Usually the core control room will be nearby the fire control room or the engineering or wherever I'm putting my computers and other important objects. If you spread them out too much, you risk losing one of your valuable systems during a fight, even though you haven't been critically injured. If they just get one lucky missile off, and that takes out, say, your faction module, and now your turrets are, you know, getting distracted by your allies whenever they friendly fire you on accident or whatnot. Or maybe they hit your weapons computer and now you're just, you know, you're done.
Yeah, because normally,
if you keep it all together, then when you lose the fight, well, you lost. You're not going to be sitting there and operating at half effectiveness. You're going to be either at 100 or dead.
So I guess kind of a counter view to that is, since most people aim towards your core, they're currently, you don't really need to protect the other parts of your ship as much, just because most people aren't shooting there. They're mostly just shooting at your core. So that's one reason why it might be smart to have them spread out another place of your ship aside from your core, because if everyone's just shooting at your core, you have other places of your ship are technically more protected.
Does anyone know what the core is? I don't think I've shown anyone any of my newer ships as far as their core location goes.
Well, I personally just group together the ones that I'm using together. I don't usually move them too far from the core, but they definitely are separated. But I agree with both your points. If your core does get hit, you're out of the game. But at the same time, at least if you are taking heavy fire on your core, at least you've still got your weapon systems. But if I'm using a system and a support system, they will always be grouped together, because if one of them gets taken out, then usually the other one's not as effective.
I usually just put all my computers very close, usually two or three blocks in front of the core or behind it, as the case may be, so that I can go ahead and get the weapons in place before the rest of the ship.
Well, the point is, they are one of the things that most need to be protected, as well as your core. Core comes first, and then it comes your systems, and then it comes, I suppose, your actual weapons as well.
Free your weapons, if they're pretty big, can take some serious fire before they're completely out.
Well, once again, I'm going from a fighter point, so your weapons are high on the keep safe agenda.
Well, when you're a fighter, everything's high on the keep safe agenda.
Taking fire is a no-no for sure.
Yeah, for a fighter, definitely I'd probably just put it behind the faction module.
So that's more to the core, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it really depends on the size of your ship and if your core is actually in the most protected place or not.
Another reason that I keep all my computers and stuff close to the core is that if, like I believe someone's already said, if you're being hit towards the core, you're probably already dead or very close to it, so why does it matter?
That's definitely a fair point.
How many weapon systems can you add as support?
One as support, one as effect. Per system.
Yeah, there's a primary, secondary, and tertiary. So you have your primary that you place, and then you can add in a secondary weapon system, and then a tertiary support system, effect system. Maybe we should discuss this when
we
get to it.
Yeah. Times.
I believe that we are done discussing hull and aesthetics. So I guess we can move on to all the systems, what everyone actually wants to hear about. So let's start out with power systems. Of course, almost everyone knows about the box dimensions effect, where if you're, I believe it's still under a million energy per second, you're better off using box dimensions instead of making a big block.
I would actually say it's closer to 1.2 million. That's normally how far I go with box dimensions before just placing a ton of power generators wherever.
Well,
it's the box dimension gives its bonus in addition to the base 25 per block. Now, it does not take in the base 25 per block into account when it's making the curve ineffectiveness for the box dimensions. So it's only when you hit 1 million from box dimensions alone, does it stop working? So if you have one very long line of power that you're getting, you know, 100% efficiency from, it's going to be closer to 1.1 million when the box dimensions stop working. Vice versa, if you have a whole ton of different smaller groups.
And also, we've got Calbri watching the stream, so I guess that he could probably give a little more detail into that, since he's the one that decides the balance.
I remember it just being a huge block of power and just shoving it in your ship and just have connect your power tanks as well. If you connect them, they would, for some reason, have a larger amount than if they weren't.
Yeah, power tanks are still like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you never want to. You want to be careful when you're designing your ships, when you're placing your power blocks, because if you're using symmetry mode and using them to fill, you know, big gaps, you have to find a way to connect to them.
That's why I feel people should build from the inside out, because then that way they have all their systems, interior, and whatnot before they add all their hull.
Uh-huh. One of the little bits and techniques that I liked and that I sort of adopted, I don't remember who it was from, maybe the Imperial Donut? But what I do is I have a layer of the power storage alongside the hull. I usually build the hull of my ships first, get the shape down, and then fill it with systems afterwards. So you fill the hull a couple layers in, and that way whenever your ship gets damaged, it starts bleeding green. You remove the hull with weapons fire, and you just see it start glowing with energy. It looks amazing.
So you're like Crusade in trying to make your ships look good when they're getting torn up. Like, of course, in his own mod, he's got structure blocks where they are a whole lot tougher than average hull, but they, in exchange, weigh a whole lot more. But you can use them as a frame so that you have a frame remaining when the rest of your hull gets torn away.
Which looks awesome.
That's definitely the idea I never thought about. I would start implementing that on my ships.
Doing the same thing with shields, as I mentioned with power, is a good way to make sure you're always getting a decent amount of shields for the size of ship.
Well, we're not the shields yet. We have to follow our list somehow.
Okay, yeah, the list.
Okay, so everyone's done with power, right?
I believe so.
Okay, so let's move on to everyone's favorite thing, weapons. Yee! Also, we're probably going to spend a while here because of the weapon system that's added a few updates ago. Now, so I believe Mon Lava is still a little behind on that since he recently came back to the game after a long period of inactivity.
Hey, I am learning, okay?
Yeah, we know you're learning, and we're helping you.
Yeah, the weapons, I'd say, are much better now, however. Are a little bit more confusing if you have no tutorials.
Trying to learn it's kind of difficult.
And just for your sake, and for the sake of anyone else who watches this, past, present, or future, I'm going to provide a simple explanation. There are four basic types of weapons. There are the cannons, which are long-range projectiles with a decent rate of fire. There are the missiles, which are slower traveling, deal AoE damage on hit, and have a larger refire time. There are beams, which deal multiple ticks of damage per fire, and have lower range but are very accurate. And there are pulsars, which at the moment are nearly completely useless, but they're basically short-range area denial, dealing damage on a per-block hit basis. And basically, you could have one of those as your primary, and then you can add another one of those as a secondary, and it alters that the weapon behaves. Beams will increase range, cannons will increase rate of fire, pulsars will do the opposite of cannons, decrease rate of fire with more damage, and the missiles will cause it to split up into a shotgun-like effect. He can also add in effects, which are tertiary and change the way the weapon behaves when it hits an enemy.
Yeah.
So, what is everyone's favorite type of weapon to build? What I usually go for is something that gets very close to the old style AMCs. You slave cannons to more cannons, and you get a very high fire rate of medium damage projectiles.
Yeah, I noticed that a ton of people actually do that, and I think that for people who are more used to the older style of AMCs, it's effective, but it's also comfortable, which is, I think, the primary reason why people use it. They already know how the weapon behaves, they already know what to expect from it. So they use it, and they use it well, no practice required.
Yeah, I mostly use it because I don't like waiting. Like, when you fire the base AMCs now, you get one very high damage projectile, but then you have to wait several seconds. And I don't like that, because if you miss that shot, you've got to wait before you get another shot. Even if you do hit, you still have to wait to get another shot. That's why I prefer dealing constant damage.
My personal favorite, initial weapon would be with cannon with ion. I don't know, I personally love it because I can drain shields so quickly. I usually leave AMCs for my turrets.
I'm an AMC fan again. I'm along with fire. I like things to shoot quickly, even though it's less damage.
Missiles. Oh, yes, missiles.
Yeah, missiles are still pretty fun. Before the weapons update, they were pretty useless, but now they definitely have their uses, especially when you shoot them in large swarms.
Yeah. The biggest thing that missiles have going for them, as opposed to the other weapons, is their versatility. Depending on what you slave to it, missiles can serve so many different functions. Just even the swarm missiles themselves just get me giddy with every time I fire them, and they just turn off and go chase. I don't even care if they're chasing an asteroid instead of the fighter I'm actually trying to hit. It still looks awesome.
Well, for you Americans, it's also very patriotic, is the other thing I've seen.
I'm not gonna argue.
Gotta love your explosions, man. And having a weapon that's on base very effective against clearing blocks is always a plus. I mean, normally you would have to sit there and slave a cannon or like an explosive effect or a piercer or a punch through to get a weapon that is built against clearing blocks. But with missiles, that just comes to the territory.
Yeah, beams and cannons are, I think, a lot mostly focused on draining shields, or I guess core drilling, which is obviously something the game is going to eventually move away from. And then missiles are, well, I'm gonna mess your shit up.
So, yeah.
Not much one for leaving any salvage behind.
Okay, so in review, rapid fire cannons are for those that don't like waiting. Missiles are those who like their beer, guns, and freedom. And beams are for draining shields very fast. I was trying to think of something clever to say there, but nothing came to mind.
Beams actually do have a bit of a latent punch-through/pierce effect, in that they deal multiple ticks of damage every time they fire.
So more or less your rapid fire sniper. Well, with a short distance.
Essentially burst fire, yes. I mean, it's not much, but any mechanical advantage helps, especially when you're trying to make up for the beam's lack of long range. Beams are essentially more relying on circumstance to be effective than the other weapons. Cannons, you can use at just any range. And with a beam supporting it, you got, what is it, base 2 kilometers of range at 100% support? Not much else is going to be able to engage at that range. With regular beams, you have to be within about 500 meters to hit someone. Good thing about that is they can hit them 100% of the time with beams, because so freaking accurate.
And also, beams make their own aiming laser.
True, but I don't think you need it, because it's freaking lasers themselves.
Everyone loves lasers.
Hey, the beams were pre-weapons update, when they were still releasing news, the beams were the most popular of the 4/5 weapon types discussed. Not sure if that's still the case, though, with missiles and cannons having so many fans.
So, are we done here, since everyone's gone quiet?
I believe so, again.
Okay, now, Furby, now you can talk about shields. Are you going to talk about shields?
I'm going to think about talking about shields.
Shall I start, then?
Yeah, go ahead. I'll come up with something.
I have a question for you all. Do you either have more of the shield recharge, or do you have more of the shield capacitor?
Capacitors,
definitely.
Because once your shields are down, you know, you're practically dead in the current state of the game. And you're not going to start recharging until you're not being fired at. You have like the 7% recharge rate, but other than that, rechargers aren't very effective until you are out of the battle zone.
Because recharge is much more of a utility than an in-combat stat, unless the size difference is so great that you're not in danger anyways.
I usually put about equal amounts of both the shield capacity and the recharger blocks, so that you've got plenty of reserve shields ready to go, and while you're under fire, you can still sort of be charging that back up.
I think it would be cool, just going to FTL, so a little bit off topic, but like when you jump out of a jump, it'd be cool if your shields like went to zero, and that would give it definitely another advantage to rechargers, so you can get your shields recharged if you jump up like into the battle zone.
Yeah, that's something that's probably gonna have to happen so that we don't get people doing the tank technique, warping in, tearing stuff up, and jumping back out immediately.
Ganked! Sorry. I generally go for something akin to a 20-to-1 capacitor to recharger ratio. I'm very big about the capacity, power capacity, shield capacity. It's proven very effective in the past, and I hope it shall continue in the future.
I hope so too, because I do not like learning new things.
Oh, trust me, that's my specialty recently.
I imagine it is. I'm very old-fashioned in this game. When new things get added while most people are cheering, I'm not cheering as much, because it means there's a new thing I've got to figure out how to use, and it makes it even further from where my old big cannons with Ruster's technique doesn't work as well anymore.
I have to say I'm kind of the opposite of that, because I love learning new things. I think that's one of the best parts about playing game in alpha, is getting to constantly be having new things in the game, and never gets boring to me.
Well, at least that increases StarMade's complexity when it comes to shipbuilding.
So, for a combat design, would you prefer to have the shields, the actual shield blocks, be the ones taking damage before other systems? Or do you believe that it should be the other way?
I do a few layers of shields underneath my hull. Because, I think shields, if your shields are already gone getting damaged, then there's not as much point in needing them anymore, and you want to keep your power alive so that you can fight back and shoot against the enemy and kill them before they kill you.
Well, you need power to fly, so I agree there.
You need power to shield.
Mm-hmm. Power is definitely most important.
I just put shields wherever I can fit them.
I've got no special purpose for shields, but I usually fill them more to the front of my ships.
Shields, I'll admit, are one of the things that I usually put on towards the end of the building process. I'll have the weapons and the hull pretty much done, and I'll see where all these gaps that I don't want to put interior in, then I'll throw the shields in there.
A lot of times I find myself doing power recharge and paint, and then shields, and then weapons and thrusters. So, a little different.
I'm sort of the person that just sections off parts of my ships to put like power or shields or whatnot in them.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually after weapons, though.
So, tip to make your good ship great, make sure that when your shields go down, your shield blocks are the ones taking the fire.
That's after you're at least three layers of hull on a big ship.
So hopeful eventually has a bigger role though, because currently it almost is more practical to have shields right after, like just one or two layers of hull. But I'm hoping eventually that won't be the case.
So is that it for shields?
I believe so.
So we're on to our last topic here in the main discussion for today's episode, logic systems.
Ooh, that's good.
So I guess I have a question then. Do you guys think it would be, do you want to have like activators and stuff in your hotbar?
Yes.
That comes with a lot of implications.
I think for certain things.
It would be very nice to be able to have activator blocks in your hotbar to be able to, say, open a hangar door from a button in your hotbar and whatnot. There are certain problems that arise from that, from being able to activate multiple weapons arrays with one button.
What you mean, problems?
Being able to fire, say, 30 different computers of one weapon instead of one computer of 30 weapons. Now, if you're trying to fire the one computer 30 weapons traditionally, you would have to suffer the power costs, the exponential power costs of having more than one weapon on a computer. However, with an activator block, activating multiple computers, you wouldn't have to worry about that.
The problem here is...
Do you want to continue?
No, I'm done. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I personally feel that there should be a specific block added to logic to make it go on your hotbar. It would, however, have to be either quite bulky or some other way of making it difficult to add in, so it's not got so much of an ease of access.
Well, it's not the ease of access system that's a problem. It's the ability to activate multiple weapons at the same time that's the problem. Normally, you're limited by your hotbar and how many weapons you can activate, because separating your weapons actually makes them more efficient power-wise. Each new set of weapon blocks that are unconnected, that are under your computer, will increase the power cost of firing it by... I forgot how much. I think it's a 10% increase per group.
It was originally 10%, but that may have changed since that happened several updates ago.
Well, the point is it would basically nullify that, as people would just not fire the computer directly, but fire 30 computers at once using the activation block at your hotbar.
Perhaps only being able to attach one computer per activation block, because there's not really any point, I don't see, in hooking up multiple computers to an activation block besides taking advantage of this.
That's certainly an idea.
I can understand the point, actually, yeah. It would be rather overpowered otherwise.
Because then you would have the return of the waffle. And, this is my waffle Kanonen. Make Kanonen's waffles.
Well, who here uses logic the most?
I use it a tiny bit.
I've toyed around with it, but I haven't integrated it into any of my ship designs. That doesn't mean that I haven't gotten moments of inspiration. I mean, I didn't come up with it first, but I came up with the idea of having damage control use logic chains. And whenever one of those logic chains is broken by, say, a massive gaping hole in the side of your ship, it would report that damage. It would report the chain not having the regular output. And it would come up with a red light on a, not a holographic, but a block display of your ship. So, say you have a terrified passenger, or a slave, prisoner of some sort, you could force them to sit in your fire control room, damage control room, while you're in a fight, and watch as all the lights around the little ship slowly go red.
I did see that, actually, and it does look like an awesome idea.
Yeah, I'm probably going to start using that.
It'll be a lot of... a lot of extraneous blocks. So if you're going to do that, it'll be on either a medium-sized RP ship or a large-sized battleship.
The only problem I have with logic is the beams going from one computer to the other.
Oh.
Unless they're inside the ship, obviously.
I have to agree with that, though. I think only in build mode you should have those beams, because, like, it makes sense for factories and such. For logic, I don't... It's like a wireless connection, more or less. I don't get the point.
Or maybe integrate like a block to send signals. From PC to PC.
I don't necessarily think that adding that block would.
Yeah, it wouldn't be any good points. But I mean, instead of having these huge wires that, well, possibly huge wires going across.
I'd rather just not have the wires in the first place, unless they're in build mode. And it's difficult to keep track of what is linked where, I get that. But usually people aren't setting up their logic chains when they're not in build mode.
Exactly. Like, for the station contest in my pirate station, I was gonna make, like, an explosive core, and, like, you had to, like, shoot it, or else, like, the treasure room would explode or whatever. But because of these big, giant wire looking things, I couldn't do it because it totally took away from my design.
problem with StarMade is if you want to have a nice looking ship, you can't have all the systems within it. However, you can make it look decent, but not perfect.
There are ways. Most of my hallway designs that I had going for my plate that I never really got that far with had spaces on the outside of them for placing logic and power reactors and stuff like that, so that they did not interfere with the hallways of your ship. Instead, kind of float around it.
I always try and optimize my ships to have, systems around it, and I haven't quite used logic that much yet, but I can see how it would be useful.
I'm trying to implement logic just simply for automatic doors and gravity. So far that's all I've really used it for.
My crowning achievement for logic is making an infinitely spinning ring, well, look like it's spinning, of lights. Of course, it's turning on and off plex doors on, in front of the lights, but it looks nice.
I yet want to make a sort of piston for my docking bay, but I'm not sure if that would work.
So yeah,
eventually,
eventually
pistons are going to be added in-game and stuff like that, so...
Oh, I guess I'll just wait then.
Yeah,
I see a few questions coming up in chat, so I guess we should go over those real quick. Let's see, topic of discussion, weapons and logic systems combined. Didn't we talk about that earlier with the activating 30 computers at once?
Oh, no. What Mr. Kavicki is talking about is solid shell weapons, physical weapons, using logic and push to launch things at the enemy.
I was thinking that was a different question, but yeah, let's go along with that. Firing rounds and disintegrators. It's something that I believe could be pretty cool, but I really do not see the point since we already have missiles.
One thing that would interest me greatly is seeing a no shields server, no shields and no weapons or traditional weapons. So what you would end up having is people making use of collision damage and explosives as their only forms of damage.
So people running into each other for killing.
Would that not be the greatest thing in the game?
Sounds fun, but at the same time, it sounds suicidal.
Would that not be the greatest thing in the game? Okay, never mind. Point is, anyone who is not suicidal and is at least a little bit sensible would sit there and have push modules pushing their...
That should be a launching cannon.
They would have launching cannons.
Yeah.
Launching... solid projectiles that it sounded a lot better in my head, but now I'm just...
Can I understand what you're saying? Like a disintegrator cannon kind of thing that just shoots the blocks.
Yes. Yeah, better yet, just have boarding parties. You know, a long tube, have the front of it ram into an enemy ship. Oh, look, it hit a hallway. Today's our lucky day, let's get in there.
Yeah, that would be also pretty interesting.
Yep.
All sorts of things that are amazing in concept, but not at all viable in actual gameplay.
So going along, we are with disintegrators and logic. I a while ago made some missiles that, once you release them from the dock, they had the push effects, pushing the actual missile and speeding it up towards the target. But soon with the new thrust mechanism, that's not going to work anymore, sadly.
Well, that's everything I'm going to say on it.
I think I'm done with the particle cannon thing. Disintegrator.
So, yeah.
Actually, I have one more
okay,
point
go.
On it. Alright, so, a while ago, there's some discussion about, like, planetary warfare. And I think it would be cool and make disintegrators actually have a point in having is normal, like, weapon fire would get more or less burnt up in the atmosphere, so only disintegrators could be used as, like, a little bit bombardment, stuff like
that. I believe bombs or disintegrators were used as, like, missiles beforehand, weren't they? Or that idea has come up used a lot.
It has.
I do agree, especially with the gravity.
They've always been very risky to make use of. You're putting a commitment into that one attack, and if that one attack does not yield results, then no more disintegrators.
That is indeed true.
But also, like, having that risk might also raise a need for having people on the ground more or less scouting out where the enemy are for when you do need the bombs.
So I guess that we've covered everything in our main topic for today.
I guess so.
So, I guess that we're moving on to the viewer Q&A. Since the stream is going to be about 30-40 seconds behind what we're actually saying, I'll go ahead and ask. If anyone has any more questions beyond the ones that we're already about to answer, go ahead and put them in the chat so that we can answer them when we can get to them. So, yeah,
and
let's...
try. If you ask someone that's specific, please put their name in front of it.
Yes. Okay, so our first question that we got a few days ago, which I remember, is from Crow. When will there be biscuits and tea in StarMade?
I believe I have the answer to that.
I also have the answer to that.
Ferb, you can go first then.
All right. The answer is modding API.
That sounds like a pretty good answer to me.
Well, personally, I think it's not until the Queen arrives, and I am British, so obviously I should know that.
Wait, the Queen's coming?
No, unless she does, then there would be no tea and biscuits.
Do I need to dress nice?
No, maybe.
So
I've never met a queen before.
My answer to this is that they will happen when Crow starts calling them cookies like they are. They are cookies.
They are not cookies. Not,
they are cookies.
Listen, Fire, we are not going into this on a podcast.
Okay, next.
Okay, fine. I'll listen to Ferb. Okay, next question. Is there a way to use multiple custom NPC skins of your crew? I believe, Ferb, I was already talking about an answer to this, or maybe it was War.
I wasn't necessarily going to answer that. I actually don't know what the plan is off the top of my head. I remember that someone asked this from one of the devs. I think it was Kupu? Count Dooku? I mean, Kupu? But I do not remember the answer.
I believe that the answer was that it is probably coming. I'm not going to pull the usual schema cat thing and say it's planned. I'm going to say it's probably going to happen, but I'm not a dev, so I cannot make promises.
Or just, it would be nice.
Eventually, when there's multiple different kind of like factions in game besides just pirates and trading guild, I'm sure they'll probably kind of update with that.
So I see that one of us has added their own question, which was, should flares be introduced or some form of combat lasers? Aren't beams like combat lasers, pretty much?
I believe that's to counter lock-on missiles.
You could technically do that with beams. Well, no, you couldn't with missiles.
No, I've...
With homemade missiles, you could, but the built-in ones, no.
Given the fact that your little like HUD in the middle or whatever, it lights up green when you're pointing at the enemy, guess it's not necessary to have a laser. Just for looks, it'd be cool, though.
Yeah, it would be cool. And flares, I guess that'd be more countermeasures to try to distract missiles.
I like the sound of flares.
I definitely think that should be added.
I would like that, but then you would have to have some form of compensation on missiles. Because then they would suddenly see much less use because they have an additional weakness that the other forms of weapons don't have.
If I recall, there used to be three types of missiles.
Yes, the different types of missiles have been incorporated into the weapon combinations.
So that means, I suppose this would be a bit worse, but dumbfire, if you recall, they just shoot wherever you aim them. Maybe it's something to along those lines. You could just, because then they might not be put off by flares because they're just dumb.
One idea that comes to my mind is probably terrible if I think about it for more than 30 seconds, but I'm not going to, just to not worry about it, is if once the HP and the defensive systems and everything that has been discussed a whole lot has been implemented to where getting hull damage is not the end of the battle is implemented, the missiles, because they can be flared out or have some form of countermeasure to counter them, they ignore shields. I know I just said one of the hot words that makes everyone hate me with the ignore shields bit.
Yeah.
But considering that, there are in the future probably going to be more ways to make your hull and armor last a lot longer, I think that in the future it will begin to sound a bit more promising than it does right now. But that's only if missiles gain additional weaknesses that the other weapons do not have.
Or maybe they should buff up missiles, and then if they have that weakness, if you can fit them in, like the flares, for instance, then maybe if a missile hits, you're pretty much screwed. However, that would make it worse for big ships, so there's a dilemma there.
I think perhaps flares should just be some kind of alteration on heat-seeking missiles. Just like shorter range or something. So I don't know if it'd be like a effect they add onto it or something, or if you guys think it's just be a totally new flare block.
I think I'd be onto something. Have heat-seeking missiles be actually heat-seeking and that they will seek other missiles, and if they collide, they both go poof.
I just saw Trent the Slayer's comment. It says, flares for smaller ships and point defense for bigger ones. Do you think that would be good countermeasures?
Well, I believe that combat lasers could be used for the point defense for shooting down missiles instead of just shooting off flares. Of course, someone already said that, but I'm going to say I did say it again.
Wasn't it you that said it in the first place? Or was it Ferb? I don't remember.
I don't know. We've been at this a while. But we are just about at the end. So, does not look like anyone else had their own questions.
Oh, well, just looking at the comments, and the Slayer, he's pointing out good points about how AMC's weakness is just like the accuracy, and then beams have a short range. And so he doesn't really think missiles have, currently don't really have a weakness. So perhaps there's nothing, like if there's flares added, we don't need to compensate for anything because that would be the weakness that currently missiles don't have.
Can missiles not be absorbed by shields still?
Missiles deal damage to shields in the same manner as any other weapon.
So yeah, then I agree, they don't really have much of a weakness, I suppose.
Besides being the slowest weapon, both in fire and in travel.
But given lock-on, this doesn't matter too much if you are close enough to fire in the first place. Your enemy won't accelerate fast enough out of being hit.
The lock-on is specific to one combination.
Two combinations.
The second combination is heat-seeking, which is technically lock-on, but it could lock on to anything within range.
Well,
I think
pulse,
it automatically chooses the closest target.
And pulse is also lock-on, so...
Wait, what?
Yeah, missiles with... missile with pulse are both lock-on. Beams, faster fire rate, less damage. Pulsar is lower fire rate, slower missiles, and more damage.
The beams is range. That one has always been the lock-on. I didn't know that the Hulk missiles were also lock-on.
Yeah, it's more of a recent addition. It went with the main weapon. They weren't. Now they are.
Well, I guess most of the weapons, and definitely the ones that are actually being used, are lock-ons. So I guess that is a very distinct advantage for missiles.
So I believe that topic is done with.
Awesome. Yeah, I could see flares being useful, but they would have to have some sort of a... They would have to have a counter themselves.
It's like anything, I suppose.
Perhaps they don't.
If having just a handful of blocks on your ship completely nullifies missiles, that's a behavior that is not there for any other type of offense.
Well, maybe one block is one flare. Yeah, I suppose.
Actually, I have an idea. Perhaps flares, instead of completely nullify missiles, how many missiles are fired off with heat-seeking?
Up to 10, I believe.
Okay, so perhaps only 7 flares or so are fired, and if they hit a Hulk missile or a lock-on, then it subtracts damage from the missile to actually completely destroy it.
That's probably the best idea, yeah. I was also thinking about maybe if flares had a bit of a short range or just sit where they were deployed.
Yeah, definitely short range.
Kind of also thinking about changing the behavior of the missiles themselves to be dodgeable. Instead of having a nearly instantaneous turn rate, give them a maximum turn rate inverse to in proportion to their speed.
I would like that. It would make fighters a little stronger versus missiles, because they would be able to dodge them and not be hit just like capitals hit.
It sure would mix things up a little bit. Okay, fire.
Yep.
So, is there anything else we're moving on to?
Let's see, we just finished Q&A. Moving on to our so-called ramble, comedy section, where we pretty much talk about whatever we want. Apparently I
talk about missiles.
But I'm tired of missiles. what I want to talk about is the fact that apparently I have started a very extended argument in StarMate IRC about cookies versus biscuits.
I specifically told you last time not to cause this.
But it's fun. It looks
the cross
like
goes over the top.
It looks like they're having fun, so I won't ruin it for them. Okay, other than missiles, anything else that you want to talk about before we end this?
Possibly any news about yourselves or something?
I am now 20% more awesome. I'm probably going to regret this, but when my battleship is done, I'm going to challenge all the ships from the different factions of the ship classes to a duel.
Ooh. Oh boy.
And it trial by fire for my new design.
Quite literally.
No, not by me. Okay, that was a terrible joke, but...
That was horrible.
At least for getting practice, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Only 10 people saw that, so it's not that bad.
Well, 10's better than none. Well, in this case, they probably just lost a few brain cells.
Okay, Azaria apparently wants to be the first to be challenged.
Are you looking for a challenge?
Are you not entertained?
Allow me to give myself a head start in running away.
So yeah, that's happening, I guess. Anything else? We're about to hit the hour and a half mark. I guess that's a nice round point to end the podcast.
Alright, so just one random thing. If anyone hasn't checked this out yet, towards the bottom of any page in the StarMade forums, it says 2013 gamer.ltd. If you haven't clicked on that yet, I recommend it. You will not regret it.
I just clicked on it. Definitely recommended.
Exactly. I can't remember who pointed it out, but that was pretty awesome.
So,
okay,
yeah.
So that seems like cool.
So yeah, this has been episode 2 of the Starfeed podcast. Episode 3, I'm going to go ahead and call it, is going to be Revenge of the Isant 6. Making fun of Revenge of the Sith, haha. It is going to be a guide to basic shipbuilding. A little more in detail to what would be a newbie's first designs.
We understand that most of you aren't newbies, but we kind of feel like there isn't that much out for them anymore.
So we're doing them a big favor and devoting some of our extremely precious time to stating their every need.
Yep, that's why we're here, I guess. And for your entertainment. Hopefully this last hour and a half has been entertaining. So, yeah, I guess we're done here. I'm Fire209, here with Mr. Ferb, Molten Lava 5, and Jay Zimmerman.
Thank you all for watching / listening.
Hopefully I'll see you guys later. Fun?
That's
so, yeah. Episode 3 is going to be next Saturday, which will be August the 30th, at the same time, roughly 6 p.m. Central Time, which would be, what is it, midnight GMT?
Midnight indeed.
Alright. So,
ciao.
Thanks for listening. And we'll see you later.
Schema for